This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we have an episode for you about orgeat.
Yes. Ooh. A fun one. A mess.
A complete heckin' mess. We were just saying before we hit record that, man, you really never know where the reading is going to take you. And I thought that this was going to be a nice, simple episode. And I was incorrect.
Yeah, it was funny because that was your kind of preliminary suggestion message about this. Was like, I think it'll be a nice short one. And then, alas, you can't tell.
Oh, the hubris of man.
And it continues. It continues. We never learn our lesson.
We don't.
Was there any particular reason this was on your mind?
We had just done that classic about Mai Tais, and I heckin' love Mai Tais, and I heckin' love orgeat. And, so I was like, what is up with that? Let's find out. And, oh, the finding has occurred.
Oh, the finding out. What a process it was. I've had orgeat, obviously, but I didn't have a familiarity with it. But my mom loves orgeat.
Oh, okay.
That sticks out to me because she doesn't drink cocktails that often.
Sure, yeah.
But she loves orgeat and she loves amaretto. And so when I was going to college and I became of drinking age, you know, when you're, at least for in my case, you don't know what to order and you're trying to sound cool. I remember trying to order. I was like, orgeat? And the person was like,
what?
What?
With who?
Like,
yeah.
And I panicked and I'm pretty sure I just left.
Oh, no.
This interaction did not go well. Yeah. But I went back and got a screwdriver later.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Because I knew what that was.
You sure? You're like, I'm aware that this is a cocktail. I'll order one. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always think of these kind of nutty liqueurs I associate them with my mom because she really likes that flavor. Mm. Also, you could see our horchata episode along with the Mai Tai classic that we just reran.
Various nut episodes that we've done. Maybe grains of kinds. I don't know.
Grains of kinds. I like that.
Sure.
Well, I guess that brings us to our question.
Oh, heck it does.
All right. Orgeat. What is it?
Well, orgeat is a type of pourable syrup made traditionally by steeping crushed almonds in water and then sweetening the resulting liquid. It can also have alcohol, usually some kind of neutral spirit, added to make it a liqueur. It can also be made of almond flavoring instead of actual almonds. It can also be made with nuts and flavors other than or in addition to almond. Orange flower water is common. So the result, depending on how you make and filter it, can be milky, cloudy, or clear, thinner or thicker. Sweet to like cloying, but should have that sort of like sweet, nutty, creamy, smooth, light richness that almonds have, with a bit of a light floral note. It can be added to cocktails or coffee drinks or desserts or sweet sauces. It's like liquid marzipan. It's like if a very light maple syrup or maybe a thinned honey tasted like almonds. It's like if almond milk were trying to be a candy. It's like the diluted memory of the very first sip of like your favorite cool beverage treat, just smooth and sweet and so nice.
Now I want some.
It took me a really long time to remember that orgeat is just like a common name for almond syrup these days, which is a common thing that every cafe has.
Right.
And so especially if, for example, you're going to a cafe that also has a bar, which many cafes in Atlanta do, you could probably order, as long as the bar isn't busy and they don't hate you, you know, like you could probably order some kind of orgeat drink.
Noted. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, I you're welcome, and/or I apologize. A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Okay, though. So almonds are a type of culinary nut that is technically a seed, not a botanical nut. Nuts and seeds are like a square rectangle situation. Like all nuts are seeds, but not all seeds are nuts. I bring this up because to understand what orgeat is, it does help to understand what a seed is. All right, we've talked about this various times, but basically, a seed is a little packet of potential that a plant will produce in order to hopefully grow a new plant. A seed will thus contain a lot of nutrition and like helpful environmental situators for this potential baby plant. The exact makeup will depend upon the type of plant. Just for illustration, the makeup of a seed of wheat is pretty different from the makeup of a seed of a walnut tree, partially because humans have helped select for the kinds of seeds that we want from both of those things. And that is, in turn, because as cool as it is that, like, baby plants get protection and nutrition from seeds, suckers, we can get nutrition from them, too.
Suckers.
Yeah. Plants.
They think they can keep us away.
Nope. <Mm-mm. laughs> We make tools. Here we are. Okay, in any given seed, you're going to have some balance of proteins and carbs and fats, plus various other compounds, some of which we experience as flavors. In the case of, pertinent to today's topic, almonds, you've got a bunch of fats, which we generally experience as being kind of rich and creamy, and then a little bit of sugar, and then like a couple dozen flavor compounds, ranging from like fruity and cherry-like to floral to roasty to sweet. But all of that stuff is like packed up in there. Some of it only exists in the whole almond as precursors to the compounds that we can taste. So how do you get the stuff out? Well, you crush the nut, and in this case, you mix it with water. Yep. Hot water is a little bit more effective than cold, but you don't want to boil it. That allows the reactions to happen that get the most almondy flavor and the most fats out of your almonds. Delicious and nutritious. Does not taste like chicken. You do often take the skins off of the almonds first by blanching them. That is, heating them briefly in water and then manually removing the skins. That's because the skins contain bitter tannins that you probably don't want in your orgeat or your almond milk or any other kind of almond product that you're making. So you've got your almond water. However, at this point, that almond water is like some water and a bunch of oils and stuff, none of which necessarily want to play nice with each other. So in order to help create a stable emulsion, that is a mix of things what do not want to mix, one of the things you can do in certain circumstances like this one is add sugar. Sugar molecules can help disrupt large globs of fats in a base of water and divide those fats up into small globs and help evenly distribute them throughout the water. Also, sugar tastes good. All that being said, sweet almond water, orgeat, is only the beginning. All kinds of nuts can be used. Pistachio, walnut, pecan, pine nuts, peanuts, pumpkin seeds. Other things, like the aforementioned orange flower water or maybe rose water, will provide a nice confluence and or contrasting sweet, fruity floralness. I'd like to see a return to some other flavorings that have historically been used, like cinnamon. More on that in the history section. Mm. And yeah, orgeat is most often used to flavor beverages, like to give a little creaminess to sort of fruity, rich cocktails made with rum, like the Mai Tai, or to add layers to a sweetened coffee or tea or a milk-type drink, or to make a nice sweet soda water. Though I will say that almond is one of my very favorite flavors, and so I'm really curious about any, like, extracurricular uses anyone has for orgeat?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think my my university had a vending machine that just had the flavor orgeat, and you could add it as a shot into your coffee.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a go-to. It was good.
Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the nutrition?
It depends, of course, on how it is made. But with the sugar content, orgeat is likely to be a bit of a treat. Treats are nice. And to be fair, these tend to be pretty strongly flavored. So a little bit does go a long way.
Hmm. Well, numbers.
Peek behind the curtain, y'all. In the numbers bullet in our outline, I just drew a little sad face.
Communicates.
which means that I could not find any relevant numbers. I was, to be fair, busy looking into many other different things. As I said, this one took me places, and I didn't even get to talk about cyanide. So
the real tragedy of the whole thing, honestly.
It is. Although, bonus, this led to a conversation in which we decided that we might do a little mini-series about poisons. Yeah. Especially tasty ones.
I think that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
That would be a grand old time. You definitely can check out, again, our classic on Mai Tais about how popular that drink is. But one is to assume orgeat, pretty popular.
Yeah.
I would say.
Sure.
And it's got a history behind it.
It does. Yes. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star starting May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And okay, almonds?
No.
Different episode. It's been on our list. We've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
I think we even had someone who was looking to do like guest pitches with us, and almonds is gonna be a whole thing.
Yeah.
Environmental ramifications. Like, yeah, there's a lot going on.
yeah. Lot going on there. Also, I have to say that like plant-based milks in general are their own episodes. Because, right, as it turns out, people have been, like, extracting, like, milky-type substances from seeds and nuts for a very long time. Like, almond milk is discussed as early as the 1200s in the Levant. So that's a separate – that's kind of a separate issue.
Yes.
I think barley milks go back about the same period of time in ancient China and or Japan. So –
right. And that can be the difficulty of when you're trying to unravel the history of these things.
Because
they are related, but also we can't just have a 12-hour podcast. but speaking of barley water, most historians believe that orgeat, and I swear it's related, originated in France, with the first versions popping up in the 14th century. The word itself, though... okay, it most likely derives from Italian, meaning barley water. Although, fun with etymology, I also read it could come from the French word for barley, both of which come from the Latin word for barley. This is because the first iterations of orgeat were typically made with barley, and the oil to be precise. After the barley crop had been harvested, the oil was then mixed with water and or sugar. There you go, or early orgeat. So this whole thing most likely got started in the Middle Ages in Europe when people were looking to use up everything that they could, which included the leftover water after boiling the barley crop, which in some places I read people believed it was nutritious.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Other sources, though, they go way further back to 6th century Europe when the water left after boiling barley was seen, as nutritious and medicinal. And a curative for things like fever.
Or even earlier, there are ancient Greek mentions of barley water. However, for a really long time, sweeteners were expensive and not accessible to everyone, certainly not in the amounts that we use today.
Right. And accounts that I read indicate that barley syrup, barley water, wasn't very tasty. So people were looking for ways to elevate the taste. As almonds became more accessible in France between the 17th and 19th centuries, their oil or milk, depending on who you ask.
And it's really kind of the same way of saying the same thing, or two different ways of saying the same thing. Sorry.
Exactly. Almonds started to replace the barley water as the plant component in orgeat. At first, just in part, like just a piece of it, but over time, completely erasing the barley altogether. Possibly in part due to the popularity of almonds in French desserts and baked goods at the time. People were like, we like this flavor. Let's do this. Folks started experimenting with spices too, things like rose or orange water and cinnamon. I read people often drink orgeat on its own. So maybe I wasn't so wrong at this bar.
You were showing them.
Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't. But hey, as a cordial with light snacks, sort of a like tea time thing, but with orgeat.
Oh, yeah, sure. Apparently it was popular in coffee houses as well, which, see, our coffee episodes were very posh around the Middle East, starting in the 1500s and then throughout Europe during the 16 and 1700s. One recipe, for example, from London from 1775 called for equal parts barley and almonds, soaked and then strained, and then that liquid sweetened and flavored with ambergris or musk.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Comes up again.
Mm-hmm. Many of these recipes called for some amount of bitter almonds in addition to sweet almonds. Bitter almonds do contain more of the precursor that leads to that like cherry nutty almond flavor, but it's also a precursor to cyanide, so having more of that isn't necessarily the best thing. Historically speaking, it probably wasn't what you were, like, the most concerned about, but these days recipes do tend to omit bitter almonds for safety's sake. And some recipes from the 1800s include dairy milk in addition to barley and or almonds.
The first known recorded instance of orgeat in cocktails dates back to 1862 in Jerry Thomas's work, How to Mix a Drink. It was in the recipe for what he called the Japanese cocktail, which was a cognac-based drink that called for bitters and orgeat. Of note, this recipe didn't contain Japanese ingredients, nor did it come from Japan.
No. It was named in honor of the arrival of Japanese diplomats in the United States for the first time in 1860.
Orgeat certainly was being used in several cocktails and drinks at the time, but the documentation around it is hard to find or just lost or was never made in the first place.
Yeah. There was apparently a trend for orgeat lemonade in America a little bit later, according to this cooking encyclopedia out of London from the 1890s. It certainly makes sense that if bars and or soda fountains had orgeat, it would have found its way into all kinds of things.
So if we jump ahead, we get to Trader Vic's and their 1940s Mai Tai recipe. And it was really big in popularizing that drink and orgeat as a key ingredient in it, and further orgeat as a cocktail ingredient. Trader Vic's did a lot to solidify this idea, too, of using orgeat in all kinds of tiki drinks at their establishments. So I guess you can go. We've talked about this in several episodes, but our Mai Tai episode, Victor Jules Bergeron's Trader Vic's, as he is known. Mm-hmm. His parents were French and French Canadian, and they sold orgeat at the grocery store that they owned. When Vic got into cocktails and especially like tropical tiki cocktails, he surmised that orgeat, it went really well with like lime and rum,
which it does. Yeah.
Here we are.
Accurate. Meanwhile, I wanted to put in a note here about this. Italian cafe culture had purposed sweet syrups like orgeat for use in coffees and sodas. And that all came over to the United States with waves of immigration. And specifically, this is its own episode, but I feel pretty confident in this one. Specifically, the Torani brand's presence in San Francisco, starting in the 1920s and continuing up through the 1980s and 90s and today, may have influenced the spread of flavored lattes in the 80s and 90s and made those kind of flavored syrups kind of ubiquitous in coffee shops around America.
Right. And as we've discussed many times in our cocktail episodes or liquors, drinks. There is a kind of renaissance in the U.S. happening right now. So I feel like even if we couldn't find numbers behind it, I wouldn't be surprised if orgeat is experiencing an upswing during that.
Oh, yeah. Certainly, there are all kinds of really interesting recipes for, like, alternative orgeats out there, if you are curious about any of that. I think, I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up. Our former producer, Christopher Hasiotis, at one point gifted us a bottle of pecan orgeat.
Ooh. That sounds right. Again, I feel like I have a lot of things that I don't associate. Like, I don't know if I knew it was Orgeat, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Oh, Well, listeners, if you have any recipes that you use Orgeat for or to make Orgeat, just uses in general, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. We do already have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star starting May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have two lovely messages about chili crisp and recipes with chili crisp.
Yeah.
So this first one, I'm not going to read the recipe, but if you would like it, just reach out and I'll forward it along.
Mm-hmm.
Brian wrote, just listened to the chili crisp episode. While I haven't seen any trend, according to the McCormick FONA marketing trends, heat is on the rise. So it's possible my area of nowhere Midwest just hasn't caught on just yet. I found this recipe in 2020, recipe included. A couple notes after that. We recommend storing this spicy, flavor-packed oil and butter concoction in the fridge until needed. Before using, warm it slightly in the microwave or melt in a small pan on the stovetop. It will keep in the fridge for about a month. Put it on everything. Use this condiment to level up any and everything. Amazing on fried chicken or turkey. It's also delicious on noodles, grilled meats, and swirled into soup broths. It goes really well with fried chicken, mixed vegetables, noodles, or just a scoop out of the fridge for a quick snack. I would love to try this on peanut butter, but with a peanut and tree nut allergy in the house, I don't take those kinds of chances. I typically replace the peanuts with sunflower seeds, but sometimes pumpkin seeds.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. So this recipe sounds amazing. Again, it was quite very detailed and long, so I'm not going to read it. But if you want it, you can send along. But yes, put it on everything. It sounds. And as we discussed in that episode, the chili crisp episode, I mean, the possibilities. You can, there's so much space to experiment. I got a new jar. I also have been running out when we did that episode, but I got a new jar.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, see what I can put it on.
All right. Okay. Joe wrote, chili crisp is the best. It's so good on almost everything, although I have yet to put it on ice cream. Something to try in the summer, perhaps. I have two chili crisp recipes for you, and they both revolve around ramen. The first comes from Zhang Chenle, a member of the K-pop group NCT Dream. I don't know anything about K-pop, y'all. I'm so sorry if that's not how any of that is pronounced. I'm going to keep going. All right. Chop 1 to 2 medium tomatoes into wedges and mash them into your boiling water. Once it makes a tomato broth, add 1 spoon or more of chili crisp, followed by the ramen seasoning and the noodles. When the noodles are almost done, stir in a whisked egg. You're ready to go when the eggs and noodles are cooked. I was skeptical of the tomato at first, but it really does balance everything out. The other is something adapted from somewhere on the interwebs, but I can't remember where. This is a spicy cold cucumber ramen noodle salad, which is great for the summer when you're craving ramen but don't want the soup. Chop half a cucumber or more into diagonal slices and then thin matchsticks and set aside. Set your water to boil and then dump in the noodles. While they're cooking, mix together a sauce using chili crisp, the ramen seasoning packet, vinegar, any basic one will do, and honey to taste. I usually don't use the whole seasoning packet since there's more than enough salt between it and the chili crisp. When your noodles are done, drain and rinse them in cold water. Mix the noodles, cucumber, and sauce together. Top with chopped green onions and sesame seeds. Believe me when I say I usually eat this all summer long. Crunchy cucumber, chewy ramen, and a perfectly balanced spicy, sweet, vinegary sauce. Yum. Oh, Annie, you look like you're suffering by not eating this right now.
That sounds so good. Oh.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. And I love mixing up ramen.
Like, oh, yeah, me too. Hard
doing
same.
All kinds of things with it. So this is exciting.
Yeah. I've never added tomato to my cooking broth. That is definitely a thing. I've added tomato like as a kind of garnish at the end, but.
Yeah. Same. But I really want to do that now. Mm-hmm. I think that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can, or email us hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.